To call a man transparent is to attack his soul, his very being. It can be received as the ultimate insult. Unless, that is, the man in question is actually, literally see-through. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Shanklin and his olive-skinned friend Dave.
Hello and welcome to this episode of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
Tom Shanklin.
Okay, boy.
Hi, Dave.
You all right?
Yeah, fine. How are you?
All right, I'm all
right.
I'm
not fine. I'm not fine. I don't know why I say that. That's just like an automatic response.
Yeah. How are you?
I've got a slight dry head still from Saturday. Win or lose on the booze. That's the way it goes.
You are such a ladiator. You always have been, haven't you?
No, well, I think I've turned a corner now. I don't think I'm a ladiator anymore. I went out after the game and I just felt really old.
Yeah.
Didn't really enjoy it. I wish I just stayed in the Marriott in the hotel bar.
Yeah.
Had a few drinks and sung songs.
But I was, yeah.
Went down to a couple of clubs and...
Don't do it, mate.
Just stood there. Saw Alid Brew.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, looking sharp.
He got man of the match at the weekend for Bath, he did.
Oh, he's done well, hasn't he, for you boys?
Not I say for you, boys. I'm neutral now, yeah?
Yeah. Why are you wearing Bath top then?
Yeah. Well, cut me in half. I'm blue, black and white, is it? Yeah, he's done really well at Bath.
Cut me in half. I bleed River Avon.
Cut me in half. I bleed gravy.
Yeah, so I saw him. I'm still...
Brewdog.
Do you ever get to the point where you have a hangover and it hits you on the second day probably more than it does on the first day because you're still a bit tipsy?
Yeah, do you know what? I don't get the tipsy bit. I just want everyone to piss off.
Yeah.
That's how I get. And I went out and got pissed on Friday night, which we'll talk about in a minute, but...
Of course you did.
Because I bloody well can.
Lager, cider.
Gentlemen, choose your weapons. And
different drinks for different needs.
Yeah, but Saturday, Sunday, I was working and I was absolutely fine.
Really?
Yes. So maybe I'm... I went out about 5 years ago, mate. A great mate.
Well done.
No, about 5 years ago, great mate. I went out into town. I forget what it was. It was like I was working at a Bath game or something and I had a couple of pints after the game with some of the staff and some of the players that come up to the lounge and whatever, and it's like coming into town, there's a club called Second Bridge in Bath. And I was like, I'm in. So we went out, and I remember walking in there, and I was with Nick Scott, who played on the wing for Bath then, and he went to London Welsh and whatever, a hell of a boy. And I was with Nick Scott and a few other lads who are a lot younger than me. I walked into Second Bridge, and I went straight to the bar. I was like, my round, boys, because I'm the oldest, you know, it's my round. So I got a round of drinks in, and the drinks arrived. I paid for them. I turned around and thought, oh my God, you are fat, you are bald. I'm going to talk about myself here, not someone else I saw.
I thought you'd met a woman.
And we've been married, happily married ever since. I'm wearing chinos and a check shirt. I was like, get out. And I literally said cheers to the boys, put my drink down and walked, and I've never been back in there.
Did you drink the drink now? Of course you did.
Chopped it. Left-handed, straight-armed it.
I don't do as much TV as you, but
it's a looks thing, though, isn't it? Sex sells, mate.
It's a personality thing. I can't... I'm really terrible the next day on TV if I've had a drink. So yeah. I don't tend to do any alcohol.
Yeah.
If I know I've got a gig the next day.
I'm the same. I don't get pissed the night before TV, but I did get pissed the night before. I wasn't smashed. I had a few load of drinks the night before the England game at the weekend. But
yeah.
What I had to do the next day was just...
Put bin liner on and...
Yeah.
Just look aggressive.
It was almost more fun if you're a bit hungover, actually, because you can tell the guests about it and stuff. And Benny Kay was in much worse nick than me. So
and I loved your laces on the weekend.
Stonewall.
I saw the opening scene of your Channel 5 highlight show. I'm saving it till later.
Yeah, okay.
Hope we go to sleep at night. But
yeah,
explain to me what the laces are.
Stonewall.
Yeah,
it's all about inclusivity. So it's including and welcoming in and having the back of the LGBT community.
Explain to our listeners what the LGBT, TV, RSD.
LGBT is lesbian, gay, LG, B, bisexual, T, transgender. So anyone from all of those groups, and really from any group you want, it's just saying that rugby is a game for all and you can come and play, you can come and watch, do that sort of stuff, and you're welcome.
A trisexual's in there.
What's a trisexual?
Try anything once.
Ali G. It's Ali G's joke. My uncle's trisexual. He'd try anything. He'd try anything sexual. Yeah, so it's a nice message.
Oh,
it's one of those things. I personally think rugby doesn't need to tell people how inclusive it is, but the fact that it does is great.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
So I saw that straight away. I thought, God, they've got the same shoes on again, because I know you've got a pair of shoes that Nick Mullins wears. You love them. They're blue with a little bit of white around them. Mm. I would never take fashion tips off a guy who's over 50. Mm. But you do. Well done. But I saw your shoes straight away.
Nick Mullins often, or I would say often slash generally, looks better than everyone else. I'd say he looks great.
Does generally. He wear tapered slash skinny jeans?
He wears jeans that fit really nicely.
I'm not speaking to anyone now who has flared jeans or bell-bottom jeans.
My issue is, I got this...
So I'm not speaking to Mike Tindall, because he loves them flared.
Does he?
Yeah. He did the commentary on BBC Highlights. I could not tell it was him for ages. So I think he did it with Chris Jones, who was first voice, because BBC show the highlights, don't they? Of
Well, you've got something for everyone there, haven't you? You've got posh and educated Chris Jones, and then you've got Mike.
But I could not tell it was him. He was so softly spoken.
Yeah. Just gentle guy.
I had to rewind it back to the start to see who the commentators were.
Well, he's such a gentle guy until he's had 8 pints of lager.
Yeah.
And then he's back. Then he goes from Windsor to Wakefield again.
Till he gets his bayonet out.
What's he like with that thing? God, the old Saturday night post-match circumcisions. They were such good fun. I got a bit more grief for my new coat this week.
Good.
You'd wear it.
Of course I would.
Yeah, and someone sent me a picture of you on Friday Neat on the telly wearing something very similar. So
Partridge gloves they were.
Oh, was it your Partridge gloves?
Yeah.
With the driver's gloves, extra purchase.
Extra purchase, yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to get John Thomas to wear them at the start, but he wouldn't.
Why not? He's a boy.
I don't know. I said, go on, wear them, mate. Go on.
Go on.
People will love it.
Just try them. Just once. Just try them.
So I was on the TV. Oh, God. I've had 2 more Twitter followers since that.
What game was it?
It was Blues Connacht at the Arms Park. It was actually...
Cool, that's a big one.
It was actually a good game.
I'm being facetious.
I know you are. But both teams, Connacht want to play like a fast attacking game. They want to play wide. So do the Blues. They've got this philosophy of pass and play. So there's a lot of tries. I'm not going to go into it, but
good.
The Blues won. But a player called Owen Lane, one man of the match, a winger.
Yeah.
Come through the sevens
for
Wales.
He's good.
He's big.
Yeah.
He's fast. He's aggressive.
Yeah.
He's good in the air. The work rate from his right wing to his left wing, I think for Ollie Robinson's try, you know, you can't coach that. That's just sheer desire, sheer want. So it was a good win for the Blues.
Well, he's got two of the three things you need to be a world class winger. He's big and he's quick.
Okay, yeah, given that. So one for the future, 19 years old, one man of the match.
Oh, well done.
But, again, I was really cold.
Mate, we've all been a great prospect, haven't we? It's whether you come through or not.
Yeah.
I chose a different path. I wanted to give something back. It's like, oh, yeah, let's go and be a legend. Let's get 70 caps or go on Lions tours and earn loads of money. It's like, well, you sort yourself out. What about all those kids that don't get the opportunities? That's where I come in.
I can relate to that a little bit. You know,
charity.
Clive Woodward asked me to play for England. I said, no, you know, I want to test myself.
Mm.
I'm going down the Welsh route.
Test yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's too easy, that one.
My theory is, and you know my theory, that you're a very good player. And there are lots and lots of Welsh players who've got a lot of caps who absolutely were fantastic, world-class, top-of-the-range players. But there are also a lot of players in countries like Wales, Scotland, Ireland to an extent, but Wales and Scotland certainly.
I think you're allergic to the mics.
Who've got loads of caps, yeah. Who've got loads of caps. Because there are only 2 or 3 players playing elite rugby in their position in the whole country. So you're just going to get loads.
Let's try for 4 minutes without a Flatman cough.
I know. What is it?
Don't know.
Do you know what it is? I reckon every time I come to meet you to do this somewhere, en route, I'm addicted to service station coffees, the Costa Expresses. Not sponsored. I should be, because I put about 30 grand a year into those freaking machines. But I'm addicted. And they're quite...
Why those machines though? Why don't you just go to a normal...
No, I like the machine one.
Barista.
I hate crap coffee, but I love that crap coffee.
Okay.
You can tell it's not sponsored now, because it is crap.
It's probably because it's full of sugar.
No. I put sweeteners in mine.
A lot of the coffees you get from those machines is very sugary already.
That's a generalisation.
Not adding sugar. No,
well,
it's not.
Look next to us. Oh, by the way, we haven't told you where we are. We'll tell you in a sec, but a couple of meters over, there's a like a horse van, and someone is the driver in the horse van is a woman in a fleece, and she has either just keeled over and perished, or she is sleeping in the front seat of a horse van in the most uncomfortable position. She's so small, this human, that she's sitting in her driver's seat and she's fallen, or she's like fallen down to the right. I mean, if I fall, I'm in my driver's seat now. We're in my car, by the way. We'll tell you in a sec. If I fall down to my right, I'd headbutt my window. But she's so small, okay, she actually fits sideways on her driver's seat.
Yeah, it's difficult to do the visuals because people will be listening to this thinking,
God,
I have to close my eyes now.
Oh, poor listeners. By the way, someone said to me the other day, loads of people have said to me too, that they listened to last week's pod and it's the best sound quality we've ever had for by a mile. What studio did you use? And I said, the 2017
Albany Road
Range Rover Sport SVR model. Thank you very
Albany
much.
Albany Road. So yeah. Anyway,
where are we?
We're in the, I think it's called Severn View Services on the old Severn Bridge M48.
What a shithole this is.
Yeah, it's not the best services. It used to be a lot bigger. It used to have a big restaurant out the back, but then obviously when they built their second Severn Bridge, not many people go this way.
What a
shithole. Unless you're going to Chepstow or there's traffic.
There you go, two minutes, Flatman Cough.
Yeah,
sorry.
There we are.
So, do you know who opened this services, by the way? Not a joke. Do you know who opened it?
Let me Phil de Glanville.
No, better than that. Look over there. We're in the car park, right? Look at those picnic benches that no one's ever sat on. It's all overgrown and minging. See, there's a big stone in front of it.
Stephen Jones.
Stephen Jones opened these services.
Which one?
Well, your mate, the Count, I reckon. It's not going to be the journalist, is it?
A lot of Stephen. We'll have a look out there after. See what it
Let's
is.
Just go with it.
Okay, yeah. Steve.
Oh, a cough of mine.
So, yeah, Saturday then we had 230, I think, in hospitality with us in the Marriott Hotel. We had Justin Marshall.
What's your hospitality company called again?
I don't know. Generic Experiences. That's it. Xavier Rush was in as well. Really good.
Oh, wow.
And I did a bit on the Q&A, and we had a guy called Adrian Davis, the Wizard. Okay, he was a squash player.
Yeah.
He emceed it. Very good.
I saw pictures. I couldn't work out who was...
Very inappropriate with some jokes, but I love them.
Yeah, so he pushed it a bit far, did he?
Yeah, you know, 80% love them, 20% don't.
Yeah, but, you know...
I don't know if 20% didn't either. I think
you can't please them all the time.
I think everyone loved it, really. So, very, very good day. Apart from the result, really, but... What do we expect? I don't know where all this optimism came from Wales. It seemed the last week, it seemed everyone was like pretty confident this was the best time and chance to take New Zealand.
Yeah, but it's how we all get through life, isn't it, mate? You know, I used to walk into my A-levels thinking, I'm going to do all right here. And then I'd walk out thinking, I've done all right there. And I'd get my result and it was shit because I didn't do any work. And it's like, it's optimism. It's how we survive. Otherwise, we'd all just grind to a halt.
I'm a little bit different. I think I hate people until I like them. It takes a bit of time.
You see the worst in everything, but that's, we probably level each other out because I trust everyone and think everyone's really nice, and then they screw me over and I end up paying back £700 a month for 7 years on a property deal that went wrong.
On a wife that went wrong, well, sorry. Anyway,
£700 a month I paid for 7 years, honestly.
To get you off?
No, to pay off this thing that didn't work. Do you know who rescued us in the end?
Let me have a get Annika Rice.
How do you know that?
What's it?
No, it's Timmy Mallett. No, it was... I'll tell you who rescued us in the end was John Regis. No, it wasn't.
Bear Grylls.
It was. Remember...
Ray Mears.
Remember Ryan Davis, who played fly half for Bath and then Bristol a bit, when he came from Colson's. Really talented young bloke.
Him.
So he had a nickname that's going to offend three of our listeners or something. We all called him Pikey. And he called himself Pikey. And when he texts me now, he's academy coach at Bath now, he texts me and he always signs his... text the Pike or the Pikey, you know. So
yeah, so we're laughing with them, not at them.
Well, he's not a Pikey. Doesn't mean gypsy travelling folk where I'm from.
It's a fish, isn't it?
Pikey just means a scumbag, whether they're middle class, upper class, working class, whatever. It's someone who's a scumbag, someone who walks along with flobs on the floor. That's a bit Pikey. It doesn't actually mean travelling folk or whatever it is. So anyway, we all assumed he lived in like fish ponds in Bristol. We always said, and he had a house with big golden lions on the gates and everything.
Nice.
All untrue. But we loved him. And his dad, Tony, who you wouldn't call anything, met me one day for a coffee and said, you're getting done over here, mate. These guys that are doing you over are assholes. Get out now. I'll sort this out. And he basically stopped us getting completely knifed by these two twats and saved us a load of money.
All right.
So I'm true trusting, mate. That's me, though.
Where were you on Saturday? You were kids in the stadium. giving them a tour in your pink jumper.
Yeah, it was fun. So what we did was I was with Old Mutual Wealth, who sponsored the series, and they have a facility inside Twickenham within the bowels. And Benny Kay is their host, and you can imagine he's very, very good. But every week they kind of bring another lad in. So Ugo's done it. I think I've done it now. And we have a quick chat about the game with the guests, and people ask questions. And then after the game, Marrow came in and Jamie George came in and just got like...
Were you hosting or were you...
Co-hosting.
Okay.
Benny's the main host, but I will chime in with questions. I'll go around the crowd and get questions off people. But it's brilliant. So,
okay.
Matt, they're just great fellas. And, you know, someone said, Jamie, what made you pick, you know, the sort of questions are, what made you pick rugby over, you know, I've got a son who's 10 and he likes all different sports. How do you know which sport is going to be the one for you? Should he just keep playing them all? And I'm at the back of the room on the mic and I said, you know, he was a fat bastard.
So you're like choice.
And it's great fun. And Jamie's like, you know, look in the mirror, you fat bastard. But it's really, really lovely vibe. And everyone's laughing and having a few beers. But there were loads of kids there. So Old Mutual Wealth do this thing. You asked the question, so I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Now and again, you turn up at these commercial things and you don't quite know what to expect. And you know you're getting a fee and you're going to try and do a good job and that sort of stuff. But I did a couple of bits with Hugo for Old Mutual Wealth. I think I stepped in last minute for someone else, to be frank, but that's fine. But we went to these rugby clubs, and Old Mutual Wealth have this thing called a Kids First Champion thing. And what it means is these clubs get awarded, like, I think, like money / kit, equipment, that sort of stuff, if they can prove that they put the kids first. And there's this amazing stuff. And put Old Mutual Wealth aside, they have this whole no winning and losing for kids. I've always thought, oh, that's bollocks, it's rubbish, you need to lose in life. And it turns out it's not bollocks at all. Like, these kids are, the attendances are way up. They're way more likely to stay in sport beyond their teens, all that sort of stuff. So they, if you give two kids a ball, they compete. So you're not removing competition. There's going to be competition anyway, but all these things. And then it's things like, who are the best coaches in a club? So if you have an amateur rugby club down the road, Avoncliffe Rugby Club, whatever, and they've got under eights all the way through to the first team. The best coach is always coaching the first team. At these clubs, the best coach every season gets put back with the under eights. So the best coaches are coaching the kids, and the people that need the least coaching get the least experienced coaches.
Okay.
So it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, as a result,
oh, was that not it?
Fucking cough. Anyway, there are loads of kids around, and they had these kids doing the guard of honour and going out, running out with the team and stuff. So I went down and met these kids in the changing room, and it was nice. So, a long enough answer for you, boy.
Have a breath.
All right.
So, rugby.
Rugger.
I reckon we've got to start with Scotland, Australia.
Yeah.
Scotland, 53. Australia, 24. Let me say that again. Scotland, 53. Australia 24. Now, we bet last week for Leo Vegas, for the kids, the children, that we both thought Australia would win after the backlash of England.
Sorry, kids.
But wow, Scotland did not see that result coming at all.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Kepu Red did not help.
No. And he's a really, really good player as well.
Do you know what? I don't think that was a red card. I mean, I'll put it out there. I know he dives in with the shoulder, but Hamish Watson gets in that stage where anyone who's played rugby knows it. You get your head in there. As soon as you look up, it's going to be taken off. That's why you're taught when you're young to, when you are jacking for the ball, get over there, keep your head down. He comes up, Kepu comes flying in and connects on his head, really, but I think Hamish Watson makes more of a meal of it than actually...
I'm going to call it... You think he makes Emile Heskey of it?
I think he does a little bit, yeah.
I'm going to call him Sakopi because we're props.
Yep.
Therefore brothers.
But that happened on 39 minutes, so...
It's Sakopi Kepu's responsibility to not whack into the head and neck of another player, no matter how he's running in, falling, colliding.
I know.
Red all day, mate. Your head's gone. Excuse the pun.
I'm just worried that the game is going to become too soft and anyone and players cannot do anything. It's going to become... There's going to be TMOs jumping in every single tackle because something's gone on. For me, that was a yellow card, not a red card.
Your head's gone.
It is gone a little bit, and I reckon still slightly hungover.
Put yourself out there for 40 minutes in your boots, and then when you come back in, ask yourself if the game's gone soft. These guys beat the shit out of each other. They've just got to protect everyone's heads, that's all.
Ah, look, there's still big tackles. There's still big hits. There's less room out there than there was 10 years ago because defence is a lot tighter. But if that's given us red and they're looking at every single breakdown, I'm worried that the TMO is going to jump in too much and you're not going to be able to do anything. You literally have to tackle them below the knees or you're off. Anyway, my head has gone.
Your head's gone. You're still hungover. You're still dehydrated. You're grumpy.
Do you know what the moment for me was?
What?
Stuart Hogg injured himself at the start of the game.
Mm.
Poor bloke.
Yeah.
McGuigan comes in.
Yeah.
I think Maitland goes to 15.
Yeah.
But the highlight of the game
for me, two class players.
Yeah, two class players. The highlight of the game for me was the Maitland try, which is on about 45 minutes. The ball goes loose. Maitland sprinting down the left-hand wing. Watch Simmons running back, the Australian four. He's either got cramp or there's sand underneath his feet. Like, he's absolutely knackered and he's trying to run back. And
poor guy.
Second rows are fast. I don't care what you say. Second rows are fast.
Rangy, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got rangy. They've got long strides. Once they pick up a bit of momentum, they've got speed.
They've all got good engines these days.
But
as well.
if you get to have a look at that, oh my gosh.
Wasn't like me chasing down Epi Tione,
was
it?
No way, no way.
In 01.
Also, I like Finn Russell has gone to another level with Ali Price at 9. Scotland is so much better with Ali Price at 9.
Shame Finn Russell's leaving Scotland, isn't it?
It is. And you
can't
saw
blame
his,
him.
You saw his quick tap underneath the posts to Hugh Jones, who cannot stop scoring. Just slips out of, yeah. I think it might be Kurundrani or Karevi's tackle. I'm not sure which one it is, but managed just to wriggle through and scores a lovely try. But it was just well played, and it does help having 15 men against 40 men. But
yeah, of course it does, but you still got to go and win it.
You do.
And they battered them. They absolutely battered them. So, you know, it's not like they snuck home. The Lions with Swan and Sonny Bill got sent off. They absolutely trounced them. And
I reckon they had a good night out after.
Scotland going to be great. You see what Matt Gitto tweeted? He said, I don't mind these Scots going well against us because I know they're going to celebrate hard through the night. They're good people. I'm doing this thing up there and in the Six Nations and you always get a choice. Do you want tickets or not? And I'm always like, nah, you're all right. We've spoken about this before, but I'm always like, nah, you're all right. I'll watch it on telly, mate. But I'm actually going to go.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first one I've actually said, I'll take ticket, please, and I'll go and sit in my gorgeous coat and watch in the stand.
Well, Wales-Scotland's the first game for us in the Six Nations. That's going to be huge.
Oh, my God, you're going to get battered.
Well, I don't know. We keep improving slightly, step by step.
No John Davis, is it?
No John Davis, no Liam Williams. Brings us on to Wales, 18, New Zealand, 33. I think we all saw it coming.
Of course we did.
I don't know where this optimism came from right at the start. But
I tweeted Wales by four. I think that set the nation off, don't you?
I mean, the first try, Steph Evans misses Rico Ioane. Jams in. Ioane wriggles out of that tackle, hits Smith. Smith throws a lovely pass and Naholo squeezes in the corner. But
Ioane just got Young Player of the Year last year.
I know. I mean, we might not talk about these in order, but at one stage of the game, Jamie Roberts comes on at 12.
Yeah.
Owen Williams has to move to 13. And what's clever is New Zealand have obviously seen that, okay? They've obviously seen that Owen Williams, who's a 12, I don't think he's probably ever played 13 or defended at 13.
Yeah.
There's a scrum 5 metres out. Turn your phone off, please.
Sorry.
And they run a move to isolate Owen Williams. Ioane gets on the outside of him. When a player like that gets on the outside of you, you've got no chance.
That's the Knights.
It's very well played by New Zealand, and they did attack us a little bit wider. If you look at the Scotland game, they really went for that 9-10 channel. For Wales, they went quite wide, and shows you it's because John Davis wasn't playing as well, and John Davis is that type of player that would come out and spot blitz someone like Ioane when he saw it coming, because you know, if you give that guy the outside, you're struggling. You have to get it off the line quickly and you have to shut a space down.
13 caps, 11 tries at 20 years old.
I know. And there's a couple of missed opportunities as well. Hallam Amos drops a sitter. They're going down the right-hand side. You know when the ball is just right in front of you, a perfect pass to him, just spoons it. And
did you ever do that?
Yeah, you always. I've done one. I remember against Australia. I dropped one off the kickoff. I was playing wing, and it was just the most simple kickoff ever. I catch it; it goes straight through the breadbasket.
You idiot!
It's embarrassing.
You fucking idiot!
Yeah, and then we have a line out 5 meters out.
100 grand a week, and you're dropping that.
Bigger kick, 25 at that time. Dan Bigger kicks a touch, 5 meter line out, they lose it. It's just things like this, momentum. But Wales did score a lovely try, and Hallam Amos slightly redeems himself. And it's this combination of Owen Williams and Dan Bigger which is really good, because the ball goes off a line out to Owen Williams, who puts it behind, I think it's Scott Williams.
Yeah.
Or someone else, one of the players, back to Dan Bigger, who hits Hallam Amos, hits a lovely angle. Goes back to Dan Bigger, and then Scott Williams manages to score on the corner. It's a lovely, well-worked try off first phase as well.
It's gorgeous.
We don't see many tries off first phase with Wales. But it is still, they're still trying to find a style of play that suits. So whether it takes a month, whether it takes next year's Six Nations, it might take a little bit longer, but they have to find a style that suits. They're trying to play wider. But you watch the game sometimes with Wales, and they're trying to play wider. They're getting the ball wide, but they're just passing along the line. There's no angle change. They still have to work a little bit on when it is going wide. You know, you still need decoy runners. You cannot beat teams like the 70s just with hands anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But Naholo 2, Ioane 2 tries. Shows you how dangerous they are.
Well, back to square one for Wales, isn't it?
Yeah, losing Reece Webb as well, although Gareth Davies is pretty decent. It's not back to square one. he scores a nice try off the bat. Josh Navidi, again, a stormer of a game.
Yeah, hell of a player, isn't he? So what Andy Powell tweeted, your mate Powley. He said, Navidi should have been capped ages ago. Much better than Warburton. he also tweeted that he should be the Welsh forwards coach. And he also tweeted that we should start World War III because he couldn't get a seat on a train.
I know.
His head's gone, mate.
Yeah, what else he tweeted? Said he'd bend down and kiss all the coaches' feet if Wales won at the weekend. it was a decent enough game, and Wales were in it for probably 50 minutes. You know, 1 point down.
How many times you said
time.
That?
Yeah, but it's just a fact, mate. But what really sets them off is the Leonard Brown try, okay? Now, Wales look pretty comfortable with the defence. Hallam Amos, again, pretty inexperienced. For some reason, decides to shoot out the line a little bit. Then he starts backtracking, but it's too late, and the ball gets into Ioane's hands, who manages to get on the outside of him, throws an offload with a couple of players on him, which goes down to Leonard Brown's feet. Amazing pickup, and Brown goes over. And you look at that, and you think, right, if he'd stayed in his shape, if he'd worked with his centre, you know, he would have been able to tackle Ioane without him getting on the outside. So it's little things like that which make a huge difference. But what do you really expect to beat New Zealand?
No.
So I think we'll take the positives.
It's how well you play before they tear you apart at the end.
And we did all right. We did all right for large patches of the game. But
that was why, watching England-Australia last week, I was thinking about an hour in, I was thinking New Zealand would whip them now. New Zealand would go to that, whatever it is, that fabled extra gear. They would find something else in the last quarter and the score a load of tries, and suddenly it'd be like, hang on a minute, how was that a 25-point win? And England did exactly that, which I thought was encouraging.
Let's move on to England Samoa. You were there.
I was there. I went there. I was there. It was all right. It's all right. I mean, the whole, it was kind of pre-match. It was all about whether England, why England weren't, the players weren't going to give the Samoan players a portion of their match fee and that sort
of
stuff.
You're right, mate.
Hey?
You're all right, mate.
What do you mean?
Well, no, like, that's your money, that's your job.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I would have.
The point is,
and I know you wouldn't have.
Oh, God.
You love
me. I would have done.
I'm Tony Montana.
We got an email, do you remember, about a year ago saying, I think Flats needs to address his attitude towards money. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe they're right.
Wrote it.
Yeah, I must say, I don't actually spend my life worrying about money. But anyway, it's an interesting one. But if you think about it, I was talking about it with Benny Kay the other day. Like, when I was going to do a testimonial, I thought to myself, it's going to be a hard sell because I wasn't on TV all the time then. I was ostensibly a club player with a few caps in Bath where there's no massive corporate, there are very few massive corporate events. So you want to do it in London, but how am I going to sell 400 spots in London, you know? So then I had the idea of, right, how about I make this one of the first or the first whatever testimonial where every single penny goes to charity. So I make nothing, I don't make one penny, cover my diesel and that's it. And And I got a call from a couple of players who are very, very good people. And they said, look, we understand you're doing this, but it absolutely ruins it for the rest of us. You make all of us look like assholes forever. And that actually, not just because they're great mates and that sort of stuff, but that's actually a really good point, because everyone else will struggle after that, because lots of the people, same people will get invited and the same sponsors will be invited, and they will know that whatever it is, the players are taking some of the money and whatever. So it's an interesting one, but it's similar to this England Samoa situation. So everyone in that squad can afford a couple of grand or a grand to give for the Samoans. That isn't the point. But then they play Italy, and the Italians have to do it, and the Welsh and the Scots, and everyone else then has to do it. But also, it's not just about match fees. It's not about that. It's about, and that now I'm hearing that, and feel free to email in or tweet whatever and tell me if I'm wrong, but now I've read that there is extra money that's held back by World Rugby for the Samoan Rugby Union, but they're only going to have that money released if they get their shit in order, and they don't. They keep wasting money, and money keeps being squandered and disappearing, and they're just bloody useless. So they need someone independent, probably not from Samoa, to go in there and sort it out, because you've got the president of the country is president of the Rugby Union. He's also, one of them is also the leader of an opposition party, and it's just carnage.
If you're giving money to charity, then that's a different case, but you're not. You're giving money to Samoan Rugby Union. It's your job. That's what you get paid for.
Yeah.
It's not your fault that you play for England and you earn a lot of money. That's just a benefit of doing a sport that you're very good at. So
what the England players are doing then is on a
If it was like a Doddy Weir type of charity where you donated a percentage of your money to, that's fine. That's a different kettle of fish altogether.
Yeah, I think what the England players are doing, if they give money, is they're being very generous, but they're first of all putting every future opposition player of Samoa in a really difficult position, and not all the other countries get paid what England get paid. So do the Italian lads then have to give a grand, So there's that. There's also, they're effectively bailing out the Samoan Rugby Union, who are useless in, and they're the ones who've landed themselves in this situation. They're also kind of making World Rugby look bad, and I'm sure World Rugby will have some things to answer to, but they also, I imagine, are very keen for Samoa to get themselves in order and flourish. So it's, I think it was absolute, in my heart said, just give them some bloody money because they deserve it. But actually, I think it would have been a mistake long term.
I thought also for Brown's try, the ball touches Danny Kerr's hand. Not that it makes a difference to the game at all, because England still would have thumped him. I thought it touched his hand and probably shouldn't have been a try, but that's just me.
I like seeing Mike Brown score, though, because he gets a lot of grief.
I can't remember who it was, but one of the Samoans could not catch a simple up and under, which eventually went into Jamie George's hand. I think that was for the
last. We've all been there, mate. It's like you on that kickoff, isn't it?
Yeah, so true. What I did like, though, was Henry Slade's angle for his try.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
Fonatier gets himself in so much of a pickle. Yeah. He doesn't know what to do. It's just a great angle. Mm. And he gets himself, he doesn't know whether to take the player coming around the back or to hit the angle, but the angle makes it, obviously.
Yeah. Sam Simmons had a nice game at number 8.
Yeah, he did. So, I mean, do you expect England to win by more, or do you think that's a fair reflection?
No, I thought they scored more points than I probably thought they would. I think they did about right. Jamie George starting was an interesting one. I absolutely think Dylan will be starting in the Six Nations.
Okay.
But Jamie George did very little wrong, and he offers things that Dylan doesn't offer, and vice versa. But quite early on, Jamie George was out, sort of along with Johnny May. He was in the outside channels, and he's very good at recycling that ball and keeping it moving, and a bit of footwork, bit of hands. So I thought they did a nice job. Joe Launchbury looked like he hurt himself. Courtney Laws came off the bench. He was just bloody fantastic. I mean, what a player here. He was always a good player. What a player he's become. He's so much better than he was 2 years ago, and he was an England first-choice player then. What a player. By the way, skipping that, I mean, England against Samoa, yeah, fine, good job, good fun. Ross Moriarty leaving Gloucester is an interesting one. Going to the Dragons, everyone's saying. And have you read Gloucester's statement that came out yesterday or today about him?
No, but I really do want to know what, because he didn't tend to get on with that. Is it Ackerman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't.
It's down to the club, right, to sign a player. It's not the player really to go to the club to say what's happening.
Of course it's not.
it's down to the employer to say we want you or we don't want you.
Yeah. So the what I read into it was that he'd had no contact about a contract.
Yes.
So then Ackerman says, well, he hasn't come and spoken to me. We've had this conversation, haven't we? But that's not how it works. But anyway, Gloucester have issued a statement, and I could get it on my phone now, but I can't be asked. But it's along the it's about three lines long. Ross Moriarty will leave at the end of the season, having been an academy product of a Gloucester Rugby Academy product and being brought through the ranks to international level. He has now agreed terms somewhere else. Full stop. That's it. It's like the most curt.
Yeah.
It's the shortest, most curt statement.
He's not leaving there on good terms, is he?
Basically says, we made him who he is, and he's taking the money now. Goodbye. That's it. It's brutal.
Grow up.
Brutal.
That's what I say. Yeah, he's gone to the Dragons. So Bernard Jackman has sold him the dream. Fair play to him. It's obviously a decision with the WRU as well, because it'd be a dual contract. It's not been released yet whether George North is going there as well.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting one.
It'd be really interesting.
If I was a player still, I'd like to play for Bernard Jackman. I've spoken to a few lads that have been coached by him, and
really?
I think he's great. Yeah.
Okay.
Like Ollie Barkley, who finds a way to not get on with some people, who gets on with a lot of people actually, but he was down at Grenoble when he was there, and their Fabrice Landreau, their coach, is a mental case, and he said Bernard Jackman's a great bloke.
Ollie Barkley's becoming the new Danny Grucock, by the way. So,
oh, is he?
Yeah. But you know, imagine Moriarty and George North signing for the Dragons, and Moriarty has, if George North as well, imagine what that would do for other players then. They're looking to sign. All of a sudden, then they've got a great success story of the players coming to there. Because when you're looking for a new club, it's the first thing you do is look at the team, isn't it?
Yeah.
What, you know, are there any big names there?
Second thing you look at, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously.
Facilities first, aren't they?
Yeah.
Here's a question for you.
Okay, go.
Do facilities make any difference whatsoever?
No, because, they do make a difference, but if you're getting paid a shed load more to go somewhere else, so what?
All right, what if your Bath Rugby have got amazing facilities?
Yes, okay.
I don't know about Gloucester's. Gloucester's, I'm sure, are good, but let's say they're not as good as Bath's. If you're getting offered 220 grand a year to go to Gloucester and you're getting offered 200 grand at Bath, would you stay for the facilities? And you don't mind which one you play
over
for?
Over how many years?
3 years.
It's an extra 60 grand.
2 years.
It's an extra 40.
Right, 2 years. 40 grand. Okay. 40 grand in 2 years for nicer facilities.
I would probably go to Bath because I prefer the city more and I prefer...
Okay, yeah. But it's not... We're talking facilities. Would the facilities make any difference? All right, so Gloucester versus Worcester then. You can live in Cheltenham.
Not really, unless it was something huge, like you had to travel every day, like an hour.
All right,
to training.
Okay, if you live in Cheltenham, you play for Worcester or Gloucester, and it's basically the same distance, so life's easy.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't really make a difference.
Would it?
No.
It'd make any difference. And I'm sure that club owners still think that facilities make a difference. You hear people talk about facilities all the time. As long as you've got a load of heavy weights, a decent pitch, and an ice bath... Boys don't care. Boys do not care.
Right.
It's a myth.
No, it is. It is. Now, last week, we had a bet that didn't come off. We bet Australia.
You idiot. It's like when you drop that ball on that kickoff.
Leo Vegas, bet of the week. Get on the website, leovegas.com.
Yep.
Terms and conditions do apply. Make sure you're over 18. Now, there's one international game being played. There possibly is more, but Wales are playing Australia. It's an extra game. No, they're not. They're playing South Africa. Now they'll lose a couple of players from England who don't have full release, I think, outside that window.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with a Welsh win.
Of course you are.
I'm going by Wales by 2 points or more. I think it's going to be close. South Africa just beat Italy. No, it didn't just beat Italy. I don't know what I'm saying now. South Africa thumped Italy.
You're still pissed, that's why.
Yeah. South Africa thumped Italy.
Yeah.
35-6. At the weekend, but I'm going a Wales win by two, so get your money on there.
Fine. I think. By the way, there's a girl a couple of car park spaces over, and when she pulled up, she finished off her big McDonald's like drink cup or whatever. Finished it off, walked out with a McDonald's bag and stuck it all in the bin.
David, yes.
She's just walked in, and she's got a big Burger King, and she's now smashing the Burger King in her car. And I look at that and I think, God, what are you doing to the inside of your body? I also think, God, I want to eat that with you.
The burger?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we can go for one after. I'm up for a Whopper with cheese. But anyway, yeah, just before we end up on finish up on international rugby, Japan drawing with France.
Oh, mate.
23-23
Let's just say it, okay?
Who were talks to the try scorers for Japan?
Oh, they are. Yeah. They know what they're doing. Great result for Japan. Super chuffed for them. By the way, they had a conversion, really tough conversion, which would have won them the game, which they missed, understandably. But France is a shambles. They were a shambles under Philippe Saint-André because he was the wrong guy. He was always the wrong guy, but they love picking the wrong guy to run the team.
Yeah.
They pick him and they say, right, that's it. Enough's enough. We're sacking him. And we're going to give someone who is 5 years past his sell-by date at Toulouse the job, the biggest job in France, because he knows the right people and he's the king of France or whatever it is. And as soon as he got the job, we all said, this is going to be a shambles. It's a shambles. They should have given Clive Woodward the job when apparently he wanted it. He would have knocked a few people around and sorted the place out. And it's a terrible, terrible shame because France is so talent rich and it's about more than just having a league with too many foreigners in it. There's loads of reasons, but it's an absolute state and I think it's unforgivable. That's what I think.
Clive Woodward, right, coach of the Lions. Nice bloke, like him a lot. But doesn't he have a huge gap between the bottom of his nose and the top of his lip?
Thought about this. It's called the, I think it's the fulcrum or something. I've looked at it before because of Clive. Yeah, I've often wondered what that was. So
it's huge.
The septum is the bit that Daniela Westbrook snorted out of her nose via cocaine. The septum. Now the bit that Clive's got is the bit between the bottom of your nose and the top of his and the top of his upper lip. I think it's called the fulcrum. Tell me if I email in if I'm wrong or tweet in if I'm wrong. Fulcrum or something like that.
Yeah,
I've looked at it. I've looked at it because of him before. I've thought that is.
Could do with a better name than that because the Gooch is a good name.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, in America they call the Gooch the taint.
Do they?
Yeah.
All right.
Because taint your ass and taint your dick. That's what the guy said to me in Philly.
I might have to blank that out. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just what he called it. We had a cameraman in Philly who was like Clint Eastwood. So he said, "Taint your ass, taint your dick."
Again, I'm going to have to probably do some more work now. Thank you.
Listen, what you think we're doing now is going on to like a question section, but I really want to get home to Bath to watch my daughter play hockey, so can we skip
it? We'll do three questions.
All right, fine. Go.
Right, David. We said we'd keep this short. So you
go on
go,
then,
you
make it
go
short
see
then.
Your daughter play, or is it hockey?
Yeah.
Okay, would either of you go on I'm a Celebrity?
Let me answer that. Let me answer that with a quick tale.
Remember, you've got to see your daughter play hockey.
Walking into England camp once, and a certain Mr. Delalio had just done an advert for McDonald's where it said, "Do you want beef, 100% beef, nothing but beef? You come to the right place." And it was like not a brilliant advert. And everyone was like, "Oh, you know, you loser, can't believe you did that." And he just said something on the lines of, "Yeah, I know, mate. You'd have done it for $100,000. So that's true.
That is
absolutely true. So the answer is no. But the truth is, when you've got a mortgage and you've got children, if someone offers you shed loads of money for something that isn't very difficult and takes a few weeks, it's pretty hard to say no, as long as you're not hurting anyone.
I reckon Lee Burns' advert for Cash for Gold is up there with the greatest. If anyone can find that advert,
yeah,
I think it was done in around 2008. Please, please tweet us a link or tweet it in. Bernie diving for gold in the swimming pool. It's amazing. So yeah, any other questions we got? We don't actually have many questions this week.
Here's one. Any chance to change the format a bit, like the Russian Shanks thing the other week? Maybe put Flats on the bench for a while until he can up his game a bit. That is from Smithy.
Okay.
Cheers, Smithy.
Don't like David, do you? You're prop as well, are you?
Sorry?
Didn't like you, does he? Do you like saying you have to take a back seat?
Yeah.
Probably a prop.
Yeah. Here's one about from Hugh on email. Why does everyone talk about having playmakers at 10 and 12 as if it's new? Two grand slams with Henson at 12. People aren't saying it's new, are they?
No, it's not saying it's new. We just went away from it. We tried a different philosophy of being direct with 12 and getting over the game line and trying to play with quick ball and trying to get round the corner fast than defenders got round the corner, so there'd be more space. And we did that for too long. And we didn't also have any other ball maker 12s coming through, because not every team has a playmaker at 12.
Yeah.
And if they are, there's sometimes a converted 10, which doesn't always work because they're quite lightweight and not all are good at tackling or defending, which is a huge part of playing 12.
Yeah.
If you can defend and you can attack and you can create and you can kick, then that's a bonus. That's why Henson's good. That's why Farrell's good. That's why Marnonu was so good, because they can do it all.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you, man.
That's it for questions.
Yeah, look,
thanks for all the questions.
I love the pod. I love you all, our listeners. But one of my real treats is on a Monday afternoon, if I can possibly make it, watching my little girl play hockey. So I'm going to go and do that.
What position does she play?
Left back.
Oh, I love her.
In the changing room.
Right back, behind the posts.
Ta-ra.
Bye.